We are from Brigham Young University. My name is Ben Cannon. With me are the co-authors Brittany Nilsson, Rena Karki, Robbie Ellis, and Jeanette Johnson. And we looked at alcohol privatization control policy considerations in Utah. And as we analyzed that, we have no disclosures. We are students. This was funded with student diligence, blood, sweat, and tears. So we have no relations to disclose. The data that we gathered was from national data repositories. It's all publicly available data. As an MPH student project, a semester-long project, we looked at alcohol policy structures. Many of you know there are control and private states. We are from Utah. It's a control state, considered a control state. And in this project, we conducted a health impact assessment. And this research that we conducted really adds strength and utility of using a health impact assessment as much as it is the findings that we found. So at the time that we conducted this research, Washington State was in the process of changing from a control to privatized structure. And so we were curious as to what kind of health ramifications this type of change would have in Utah specifically. But as we got into it, we realized that our findings had kind of more broad applicability to state legislation and policy structures. And so these are the findings that we have. It's very important to note that we focused on off-premise alcohol outlets. We did not take into consideration restaurants where people are drinking alcohol on the premise. So with that, I'll turn it over to Brittany to talk a little bit more about this process of a health impact assessment and where we went from there.
So just to give everyone a little bit of context, for those of you who aren't familiar with the health impact assessment process, it's a pretty straightforward process. There's really good structures available, guidelines as to how you conduct a health impact assessment. But the goal of a health impact assessment is to take a policy and to examine or predict the outcomes that will happen as a result of that policy. And in doing that, it's a very straightforward process. You start by kind of assessing the policy and the outcomes you're looking at and decide if an HIA is appropriate or necessary. In our case, it was. From there, you go ahead and identify the stakeholders. As with any kind of policy discussion, it's really important to consider who the key players are in that situation because, as we all know, the only thing to get things through legislation is to have people on your side. So it's good to know where everyone is coming from. And then from there, you conduct your assessment. You conduct your assessment, make your conclusions, and make your recommendations. So as been mentioned, we were tasked with doing a health impact assessment, looking at kind of this difference between privatized and control. So just to kind of break down what those words mean, in a control state, the state government is in charge of the distribution and sale of alcohol. And in a privatized state, private retailers are the ones that have that control. So as been mentioned, when we were kind of tasked with this, we were working with the Utah Department of Health, and they came in and they told us how Washington State had just gone from a control state to a privatized state, and if there was some similar legislation that was on the line in Utah. The Utah Department of Health kind of came to us with this fear that if we became a privatized state, we're going to see a huge expansion in the amount of alcohol being sold in the where alcohol can be sold, location-wise, number of hours alcohol can be sold, things of that nature. We kind of went into it with those classifications in mind and with kind of this example of Washington in our mind. We started gathering research. We started looking at what control states look like versus privatized states look like. And the interesting thing we found in that was that there were no correlations with any outcomes. So that was a little bit confusing and disappointing to students who were trying to get through this work with our bloodshot and tears, as Ben mentioned. And so we, you know, that didn't quite seem right to us. It seemed like there should be some sort of association between these policies and these outcomes. And we didn't want to go to the Utah State Legislature and say, you know, it doesn't matter what you do, things will happen as they happen. And so we decided to dig a little bit deeper. And at that point, we started looking at how every state in the country kind of approached this policy. And what we ended up finding was that in a lot of cases, control states and privatized states looked an awful lot like each other. And sometimes they looked totally different than each other. And so we started getting more organized with our lists and systematically going through each state. And what we ended up finding was that there were differences in retail structure. So that means where alcohol could be sold. But there wasn't necessarily a difference between privatized and control. So that means that you had privatized and control states that shared the same retail structure. And when we broke down the data by retail structure, what we found was that we could kind of make those associations, that states that use similar sorts of retail structures had similar health outcomes. So I'm going to turn the time over to Rena to talk more about how we broke this down and what we found with that.
So we came up with this four classification: full retail, partial retail, low retail, and designated store. So full retail. So states, we classified states as full retail if it allowed its private retail store to sell all kinds of alcoholic products such as wine, full strength beer, and spirits. Then partial retail, we classified states as partial retail if it allowed its retail store to sell full strength beer and wine and regulated the sale of other alcoholic products such as spirits. Then coming down to low retail, we classified states as low retail if it only allowed its retail store to sell watered down beer, that is often beer with 3.2% alcohol by volume, and regulated the control of other alcoholic products such as wine, full strength beer, and spirits. Finally, designated store. So we classified states as designated store if it allowed, if it took the control of all kinds, sell of all kinds of alcoholic products such as wine, spirits, and even watered down beer. So the number you see there, so here we classified, so this is the initial classification of states control and privatize, and finally they have been classified as per our classification. For instance, there's five controlled states where actually selling all kinds of alcoholic products in the retail store. And here, like here you see four states were actually selling, who initially classified themselves as privatized states, were actually selling their all kinds of alcoholic products in a designated store. So Robbie will be talking more on this.
Okay, thanks, Rena. Just to kind of give a caveat before I begin, I'm going to talk a little bit about the trends we found in each of the four categories that we assigned. However, we hadn't really took an advanced biostatistics set or anything, so we didn't know how to run more detailed analysis. So everything I'm going to say is more just like an eyeball glancing over figure. There's a lot more research that can be done with a lot of the data we collected. So just to begin, full retail again is when they had all liquors, including spirits, sold in the privatized market. And as you might kind of expect, some of the health outcomes we found were mostly negative. They had more increased sales to minors, more alcohol consumption among all age groups, more alcohol-related injuries and death. However, we weren't quite sure if that was truly related to the retail structure or some of the things that go along with that retail structure, which include more outlets of sale, longer hours of sale, and more days that alcohol is sold in the community. And moving on to partial retail, this again was only beer and wine is sold in the private market, and all other forms of alcohol are sold in designated stores. So kind of what you would expect, there are slightly better health outcomes. However, there is more, there's more consumption per capita in partial retail states when compared to the full retail states. And we thought that was really interesting and kind of relates to a higher rate of binge drinking in those states. And considering there is less alcohol, you would think kind of available, that was a really interesting finding. And one of the theories we discovered of why that might have been is when you have to go buy your alcohol in a designated store, you tend to buy more, you tend to buy in bulk because it's inconvenient to go all the way out there and buy alcohol. And so that might kind of contribute to a higher binge drinking rate in those states. Moving on to low retail. Low retail is only beer sold in the private market. And as you would kind of expect, there was a decrease in chronic disease in these states as compared to partial and full retail. There's also a decrease in violence and DUIs and alcohol attributable deaths. However, again, there was an increase in binge drinking as related to the partial and the full retail states. And then lastly, moving on to designated retail, this is no alcohol sold in the private market, all in designated stores. And this is where I think things got even more interesting, is that some of the health outcomes actually started to be worse when compared with low retail. There are higher rates of alcohol attributable death, and again, higher rates of binge drinking in those states. And so there's a lot of more research that can be done with the numbers that we gathered, and I'd like to turn the time over to Jeanette, who's going to wrap up for us.
I just want to thank Ben for losing his voice and giving us the opportunity all to speak here today. And thank you all for being a good crowd. One more thing before we move on, we thought was a very interesting fact. Does anyone here know which state has the highest tax per gallon of alcohol?
Alaska.
Alaska, very good. How much is it? Do you know? Yeah, it's something like that, because we go by $16 per gallon, right? He has a million-dollar question. Do they want to know who has the lowest tax?
Wyoming.
Wyoming at? 2 cents. 2 cents per gallon. Huge difference. Both designated retail states. Just something to keep in mind. So here's the map. Here's kind of the wrap-up here. As you can see, we have a lot different classifications, but you'll see that private and control don't always mean that they're two different categories, two different kinds. Both had different outcomes. At this point, you're probably wondering, well, what are the takeaway messages? It's a lot of information. The first thing is that saying that a state is a control state or a privatized state alone really is a label that doesn't give us a whole lot of information. And more they become political labels and polarizing labels. As we talked about, the Utah Department of Health was very concerned about becoming a privatized state when perhaps they shouldn't have been. We also want to make the point that state governments should conduct a full health impact assessment, HIA, in considering health policies, in considering alcohol legislation. It's very important not just to, like we talked about, have those polarized labels, but to actually say, okay, what are the impacts? What's happening now in our state, and what can be happening in the future? And we really want to push the idea of further research as needed. As we talked about, we didn't have the hard-hitting statistics to really back up the why all these trends are happening. We could only tell you that they were happening. And so we're really grateful to be here because we know that a lot of you are conducting research and presenting research today that will help us understand the why of what's happening here. When we came down to it, I guess, our conclusions to the Utah Department of Health were to reconsider that privatization maybe wasn't the evil option they had thought it had been. And we know further research can always help us out. And so we'd like to thank all of you for being here at a presentation today, and we'd love to take a few questions.